You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Welcome to Book Lovers Cafe. Book Lovers Cafe is a program of author interviews and book reviews from around the Sound and beyond. I'm your host, Chris Wilson, and you can listen to this program on Wednesdays, 5 o'clock after calendar, or on Sundays at 12:30. Today, we have a very special guest right here in the studio. Her name is Rachel Dunstan Muller, and she's here as a guest of the Quimper Storytelling Guild this weekend, and she's conducting a workshop at the library, and she's also going to be going up and talking at the Liars Club program in Port Angeles for those storytellers. So we're really lucky to squeeze her in today in the studio. Welcome, Rachel. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. It's quite an honor to be here.
Well, I was fortunate to be able to go to First Friday and hear Rachel be the featured storyteller. And so we'll be talking about her storytelling. But I also want you to know that she is an author of young adult novels. And so I'll just tell you some of those right now. One's called Ten Thumb Sam, and it's about a young circus performer with no skills. And of course, he is commandeered to save the day.
He does, yes.
And I think that some of our young friends here in Port Townsend would really love that book. There's also her first book is called When the Curtain Rises, and it is about a disappearing magician. So it has some fantasy in it. There's another book called The Solstice Cup, and it's set in Ireland. And we're going to be talking to Rachel about her love of Ireland later in the program. And finally, her latest book is titled Squeeze, and it is a caving trip adventure for young people.
That's right. Where I come from on Vancouver Island, we have the highest concentration of caves anywhere in Canada. There are more caves on Vancouver Island than in any other part of the country. So
who knew?
Who knew?
I didn't know that. Well, Rachel is from Canada. She lives on Vancouver Island in the town of Ladysmith, and which is, I think, near Nanaimo, which is, you know, the one that everybody knows about.
That's right, about an hour north of Victoria.
Right. And I still have yet to visit there, so I'm encouraged to visit soon now. And besides being a storyteller, an author, she's also an educator, and she's leading storytelling workshops. And so you can look for those. I hope she returns to Port Townsend again to do another workshop.
I would certainly love to.
That would be great. So I'd like to begin today with you hearing one of Rachel's stories. And so I'll let her introduce it. And the way we're going to do this today is she's going to tell part one of the story, and we'll talk to her some more about the craft and the art of storytelling, and then we'll finish with part two.
That would be my pleasure. So the story that I'm going to be sharing today is called The Magical Fiddle, and it's a story that particularly resonated with me. It's a Hungarian folktale, and I first encountered it in a book called The House of Cats by Maggie Pearson, but this is my version of the story. There was once a young man who made his way in the world with only the clothes on his back and the fiddle under his arm. That was all he had, but that was all he needed, thanks to the magic in his music. His fiddle could make beggars laugh and kings weep. It made old men forget their aches and pains, and old women remember their dreams. And so, of course, the young man was welcome everywhere he went. There was always food to fill his belly and a place to rest his head. But sometimes when the road was long and the wind was sharp and the stars were hidden behind clouds, he would get to thinking that it might be nice to settle down, to have his own hearth, his own warm bed, a field with a goat and a few hens. Well, He would often conjure this house up in his mind to pass the time as he traveled from one village to the next. And with each imaginary visit, he would add more and more detail. Well, you can imagine his astonishment when he came around a bend in the road one frosty night and found himself face to face with a little house that matched the house in his mind in every detail. He was stunned. Well, he assumed that it must just be a dream. But there was nothing dreamlike about the wood under his knuckles when he knocked at that door. A strange little man answered the knock. "I've been expecting you," he said. "Come in and welcome. Please take a seat at the table." Well, the young fiddler didn't wait to be asked a second time. He took a seat, ate a big bowl of hearty stew beside the roaring fire, and then sank gratefully into the soft feather bed. Well, he was pleasantly surprised when he woke in that same feather bed the next morning. He'd half expected that the house and all it contained would have vanished in the night along with his dreams. "It is so strange," he told his little host at breakfast. "I have dreamt of this house, this exact house, so many times. And here it is." "And here it is," said the little man. "And it could be yours to keep for always if you would only give me your fiddle in trade." "A most generous offer," said the young man, "but I'm afraid I can't give you my fiddle. Why, I've promised to play at a wedding this very evening." "But that's not a problem," said the little man. "I could play in your place. Go on. This is the house of your dreams. You will not get this offer again." Well, it was a surprisingly difficult decision. The young man was very attached to his fiddle. But on the other hand, it was the house of his dreams, right down to the field that he could see through the open window with a goat and a hutch filled with hens. He took a deep breath and then surrendered his fiddle. And off went the little man without another word, without another glance down the road. And the young man settled into the business of looking after his new home.
This is Chris Wilson, the host of Book Lovers Cafe, and you are listening to Rachel Dunstan Muller, and she's telling us a story about a magical fiddle. We'll hear more of that story in a few minutes. And if you are coming into the middle of this program, you can catch the whole show on the podcast page at kptz.org. So, Rachel, tell us a little bit about your own life and how you decided to become a storyteller.
Well, I think it really goes back to the very beginning. My parents immigrated from the United States, from the Bay Area of California to Toronto, Ontario, when I was 1973. And they crossed the border in a Volkswagen van that contained all of their remaining worldly possessions. And my father at that point had a job just at a shoe store. He would eventually become a journalist, but not a lot of money. They were both well-educated happy people, but not a lot of money. We lived in a tiny little apartment in Toronto. And of course, in the winter, it's very difficult to take a young child outside. But we did have the library, and we used that all the time. My mother did not like television, so our house was filled with books and music. And books, stories were what made the world a much bigger place for me. And I've just loved stories ever since. I inherited some books from the turn of the last century, some collections of fairy tales, and I remember just being absolutely absorbed by those. So I've always loved books. I've always loved stories. But it wasn't until we were living in Ireland for a year, my husband was on a teaching exchange, that I took a year's leave of absence from my work as a writer for the forest industry, a technical writer. And I started writing fiction myself there. But I also encountered my first storyteller for adults, and I can't remember her name, but it wasn't actually an Irish storyteller. It was someone traveling from the United States. And she was doing house concerts around Ireland. So that was my first experience of being an adult, joined with other adults, listening to someone tell stories for our entertainment. I also had a wonderful experience where I went to a restaurant with some people from a book club that I belong to in Ireland. And at the end of this enchanted evening, there were about 18 of us, I think, gathered around the table. They said it was time for everyone to share a song or tell a little story. And no one had told me about this in advance because they just took it for granted. This is something people do.
That's the way in Ireland, isn't it?
Absolutely. And when it came to my turn, I didn't have anything to share. And I think I've been trying to make up for that ever since.
Well, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
So the story that you're telling us today is a very traditional kind of story with the format of a traditional story. But you have written and are speaking many other kinds of more modern stories as well. You are a mother of five, and so I noticed that your stories often have to do with the travails of motherhood. That's one of your themes, right?
It is. I often write stories that are in a traditional format. So, for example, one of the stories that I told in the concert last night is the story of a woman who can't have children of her own. And I said in Ireland, that is the culture that I claim as my own. I lived there for a year. I'm more Irish than anything else. And I grew up with a lot of Irish stories and music. So I often set my stories in that traditional location. And she's a woman who can't have children and ends up taking a fairy child for her own. And it was just a way for me to explore other issues, bonding issues with children, children of different abilities. And
It was an incredible story, a very powerful story with a lot of hard decisions in it. And I hope that you get to hear it on a CD sometime, or really search out Rachel and be able to hear it live. It's a wonderful story. I loved it. And also, there's, you know, the storyteller who reads stories. Like when you read a traditional story in a collection, how do you make it your own? What do you do?
A story for me doesn't really become real until I can take it off the page, and I write many of the stories I tell, but I need to be able to embody them. I need to really be able to feel them. So it's not just a series of words. It's something that I'm actually experiencing as I tell it. And in order to make it my own, it has to flow. It has to use language that I would use myself, or language that matches the syntax of the culture that I'm setting the story in. And that's something, that's a process that takes place over time. I will have the bones of a story, and it comes together almost in layers until I tell it for the first time to my husband and my children, and I get some feedback from them, and then I continue to tell it to myself, and then I tell it to a wider audience, and it continues to evolve even after that, which is one of the beauties of the oral tradition, is that it is something that evolves over time.
It's never quite the same. It's sort of a picture in your head that you're describing, and then maybe another detail just appears.
And to me, that's one of the magic things about oral storytelling, especially live oral storytelling, is it's just a moment in time, and you will never be in that moment again. It's just this precious thing to experience in that moment.
Well, speaking of that moment in time, let's return to the story of the fiddler and his home. So if you will continue, Rachel, thank you.
Well, as time passed, the young man found that he liked the company of the goat and the hens. He liked the feel of the sun on his face and the dirt under his fingernails as he dug in the garden. He liked the warmth of the fire and the weight of his new feather comforter at night. But sometimes he missed the freedom of the open road and the stars overhead at night. And he missed his fiddle. Oh, how he missed his fiddle. That was an ache that never went away. As more time passed, he found himself thinking quite a lot about the strange little man. And the more he thought about the little man, the more familiar he seemed. He was sure that he had seen that wrinkled little face at a wedding some months before, and in a market square some months before that, and on a street corner the previous winter. Yes, it was as if the little man had been watching him, waiting for him for some time. "I've been expecting you," the little man had said. The house wasn't a curious coincidence, the young man realized. It had been conjured from his own dreams. Well, knowing this, he half expected to wake up one morning and find that the house and everything in it had vanished in the night. But every morning when he woke up, the house was still there. But one evening, as he was preparing his supper, he was interrupted by a pounding at the door. It was the little man hopping up and down with rage. "You cheated me," he said.
"Cheated you? You wanted my fiddle and I gave it to you."
"You gave me your fiddle, but not the magic that goes with it. When you play, beggars laugh, kings weep, old men dance, old women dream. When I play, dogs snarl at me, girls taunt me, boys throw rotting vegetables at my face. I need the magic. Where is the magic?"
Very gently, the young man took the fiddle from the little gnome's hands. "When I play," the young man said, "I put my whole heart and my whole soul into the music. That's the only magic I've ever had. But you, who conjured this house into being, you are clearly one of the fair folk, and the fair folk don't have souls, or so we're told." And with that, the young man tucked his beloved fiddle under his chin, and he began to play. He played a tune so lively and bright that the little man forgot all about his tears of rage and began to dance instead. The young fiddler left the house and started off down the road, still playing. When he looked back over his shoulder, he saw that the house had disappeared, but the little man was still dancing. When he looked back a second time, the little man was gone as well. The road that night was long. The stars were hidden behind clouds, and the young man wasn't sure what he was going to eat or where he was going to sleep. But he had his freedom, and he had his music again. And that was all he'd ever really needed.
You're listening to Book Lovers Cafe, and that was Rachel Dunstan Muller telling one of her very wonderful stories with true words about life and freedom and the wonder of music. And I know all of our listeners here and people in Port Townsend value that really highly. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
There's another story about a girl this time, a girl that speaks with birds. And I think there's a lot about children and some children that are not like other children in your stories. Can you tell us how this story came about? It's set in France.
It is set in France. It originally came to me, the idea of a girl calling down the birds. It was one of those liminal moments that I often get as I'm getting up to use the restroom in the middle of the night, I'll be honest. Or as I'm coming out of a nap, I'll often have these little images. And so I had this image of the girl calling down the sparrows, and just the name, the girl who spoke with sparrows, just was very poetic and spoke to me. So that was the first seed. And then I had to figure out how her ability would be able to serve the greater community. And the fact that she had a different kind of ability, and not only did she have a different kind of ability, but she was an outcast in her community because she wasn't able to speak the way other people did. Mm-hmm. And so to have that reversal. And so originally, I write many of my stories actually set in historical Vancouver Island, but it didn't make sense for the history of Vancouver Island. So I had to find a location that would make sense. And 14th century France during the Hundred Years' War made sense. And so I did
just love that. I loved that.
So I did some research about how people fortified their villages and what life was like for the peasants on the ground in northern France. Mm-hmm. And it just all the pieces came together. I've spoken to many other artists, especially writers, who talk about it's as if that story already exists somewhere and you're just finding the pieces. And when they all come together, it's like finding the proper combination to a lock and everything just clicks into place and you know you've got it.
Mm-hmm. So France, Jeanne d'Arc, and the Inquisition, the historical stories that we know about witches and how things that happened that were unfortunate are blamed on innocence, or mm-hmm. or the old woman at the edge of the midwife. So these are characters in your stories. And so this is another one with story within story, I think. Not just a simple tale, but some real lessons here about human beings and what they're like. So congratulations on this one. Let's talk about one of your modern stories as well. Okay, so you are a mother of five. Hard to believe. You look like you're just out of school. So here, there's a story that you told about a young mother managing. And does this come out of your own experiences?
Not directly, but in a sense, yes. I have a real place in my heart for mothers of young children, especially if they have multiple children that they are juggling. And I do have five children. I had twins and then a third child in the space of 2 years when I was just fresh out of university. And it's amazing. They may seem very small. They may look very small, but they can outnumber you very quickly. And we had some interesting experiences in grocery stores and various places, and a lot of humorous stories in retrospect. So The Wedding Guest is meant to be a humorous story, but I hope that it will also speak to people who are older and have forgotten how challenging that time of life can be, because it is mm-hmm. quite a challenging mm-hmm. time. But in this story, a mother thinks that she's taking her children to a wedding, is supposed to be going with her husband, but at the last minute, things change, and she ends up taking their four children by herself. But it's not a wedding she attends, it's a funeral, to her horror.
And so we do laugh during this story, and we commiserate. And, you know, one of the things about Rachel as a storyteller is that she's not an over-the-top storyteller. She's very grounded, but in a very whimsical and magical way. So I really appreciated being able to hear her last night. So, Rachel, what kinds of books are you reading lately, or what has influenced you to become a writer? Let's talk about books for a little bit, because this, after all, this is Book Lovers Cafe.
Absolutely. So I read a lot of Canadian literature because I am on the north side of the border. And I just love a story that has beautiful language, but also a compelling plot. So someone like Michael Ondaatje, a beautiful writer, Emma Donoghue, mm-hmm. the author
of Room. I've read both of those.
Yes. So that's one of the things that I love about selfishly writing short stories, is because I love language as well, and I love plot and putting them together in a small package and then being able to deliver that immediately to an audience and getting that immediate feedback is something that I love.
Mm-hmm. And your workshop, so you're working with people that are not storytellers, or maybe people that, you know, hear the Moth Story Hour on NPR and want to do something like that. What's your workshop like?
I do different kinds of workshops. So some of my workshops are for absolute beginners who are trying to record their life stories. Some are for people who would like to tell a story in a concert kind of situation or at a storytelling event. That's what I will be doing tomorrow afternoon. And I also give workshops to storytellers who are telling traditional folktales but are interested in writing their own material. And so I give them lots of prompts, and we go through the process from the seed of a story all the way to the fully formed fruit. And we do a lot of play in those classes because it's such an important part of creativity. And it's amazing what people are able to produce under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Rachel Dunstan Muller, and she is a storyteller and an author from Canada. And we're fortunate to have her here on Book Lovers Cafe today. Please join me next time to talk more about books and authors. I'm your host, Chris Wilson, and you can listen to past shows and other programs from the podcast page on the website at kptz.org. You can make a donation to the station there as well. And today, Jerb Dufresne is our engineer, and Carl Allen is going to be our editor. He'll smooth out all the rough edges. Thanks to all the volunteers and the supporters who make this wonderful independent radio station possible. See you next time.